You wanna make some of it?
Which lay before the great flood.
I didn't come here for help.
Welcome to Who's Hot and Who's Not, Episode 5 on the Oh Hot Moo or Not feed, using the same naughty process as that show to look at who's who number one with a contingent of the Hot Squad, or in fact the entire Hot Squad tonight. I'm Siskoid, and let's talk to people around this table. We will ask each panelist to introduce themselves by revealing what their favorite video game or video game type, or, you know, your first video game love, any era. And this is going to foreshadow some of the entries we'll be covering today.
Oh, man, you thought you were asking for it with jewels?
Let's keep it brief since everyone's here.
Dear God.
So, Amity, what's your favorite game? I think I know the one you lust the most after, but I don't know if it's your favorite.
Yes, it is my favorite. Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, featuring Geralt of Rivia as Lusty, is my favorite game of all time. I'm also a big Zelda fan. The first game I probably played, because I had an NES as a child, because I am a mistake. And my sisters were from the 80s, and this is the hand-me-down console that I had. And the only other time I was able to game with, like, a console that I had was a 64 that someone lent me. So Ocarina of Time was more of my first, like, real game other than just a little bit of NES duck hunting.
Did not need the biography of your gaming life. Your favorite was The Witcher 3. All
right. The Witcher!
Natalie.
I feel like I'm going to steal Isabel's thunder in this regard because we are sisters who had the same gaming consoles. So we had the same games. But I think my favorite is still Donkey Kong Country. I play that game still regularly and I'm still really good at it up to a certain point. Basically up to like the winter place, then I suck. But up to that point, I can do it pretty well. But also, I just want to say Pokemon Snap is also up there.
Mm. Isabel, is that true? That you steal your thunder?
Yes, I am electricity-less. No, I totally agree. Those are very, very good choices. I guess to say something different, I've played a lot of Kirby's Epic Yarn. In case you wanted something fuzzy and adorable.
All right. Shotgun, you're a big gamer.
I don't know where to start. I'll keep it brief because I've owned every console ever since I've been a kid. My parents didn't know what else to do with me. Really, I have a special place in my heart for Pokemon Yellow since it was my very first game, actual game. But any Mario game, any Mario Party, I've discovered that I love couch co-op game. And lately, I think one of the game I enjoyed the most was It Takes Two that I played with my boyfriend. It was really, really fun.
Okay, Jose.
I'll go classic as well. And any and all of Paper Mario. I've played all of them. I love them all. I finished them all 100%. And they will forever be my favorites. I can't pick one over the others.
And it is.
I was not a mistake, but I was still not allowed video game consoles when I was young. So I played at friends. So the ones I've played the most is probably Yoshi's Island. But as soon as games went into three dimensions, it messed me over. And I have a lot of trouble walking in straight lines. So anything you can fall in holes, I hate. But the other game I've played the most is probably X-Men Legends 1 and 2. To the point that like we ran through the game 6 or 7 times. Because we didn't have cable.
Neither did we. Yeah.
I think, like Elise, the NES thing made me really bad at walking as well.
Oh yeah, I also can't do that at all. Especially with like Nintendo 64 stuff, because obviously like it wasn't perfected yet. So like figuring out where I am next to a hole is impossible.
It's all newfangled technology to me, because my first console was the Atari 2600. My favorite game on that was Activision's Demon Attack. It went to 1,000,000 points, then it flipped over. I did that, and there's no pausing, and there's no saving. I still got arthritis from back when I was 12.
Well, we did get a ColecoVision after a while at a yard sale, and played a lot of Mousetrap, which is basically Pac-Man.
Yeah, only the rich kids had ColecoVision. Okay, let's get into the...
This is like 98. No longer the rich kid thing.
Well, no, it still is. There's some status to it. And so we hate the ColecoVision kids. Let's get into this batch of characters.
Woo!
Sounds like there's supposed to be a musical sting there. So very close to Geralt. Arcane. Anton Arcane is essentially the DC Universe's Dr. Frankenstein, whose experiments first created the Unmen, the misshapen creatures seen at the bottom of the picture here by Steve Bissett and John Totleben, the best known of which is Cranius, who is a head grafted to a hand. You see him?
Ooh.
The next step was creating a powerful body to house his own consciousness, and he decided to skip doing the work and steal Swamp Thing's body. That story ended with him falling down into a ravine, but the Unmen rebuilt him into the form on the left, and after that got killed, into the half-insect form on the right. And when that got killed, he became a demon in hell. One that sometimes resurfaces to plague Swamp Thing and his own niece, Abby Arcane, who's Swamp Thing's lover. At one point, Arcane even possessed the corpse of Abby's dead husband, Matt, animating it with bugs and clouding her mind so she wouldn't notice. I was not ready for a story about necrophiliac incest when I was a kid, let me tell you. The Serpent shows the possession and also his old castle on the edge of a cliff in the Balkans.
Ew.
There's so many different options of being insects, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
There's a lot to process here.
I'm just uncomfortable.
Because I kind of like the outfit.
I like the like old school medical thing on his forehead.
No, merci.
Like, even if I like the outfit and parts of his look, part of me is like, that's a lot of baggage to learn on the first date or something. Like, I don't know. I need to go to the restroom and never come back. Like,
so like, do we need to rate the main picture, all three forms together, all three forms separately?
For his sake, I hope picture.
would there be a difference?
I think there would. I could potentially get into his like main human
person.
Yeah,
that's not
version.
So bad.
No, it is. It's terrible.
Although
he looks like he's 127 years old.
Yes, and when has that stopped us ever?
Okay.
The main thing that bothers me is actually the hands. Because he has like really long fingernails.
Actually, the hands are like the commonality between the three forms. They all have like the same hands.
That's true.
Weird.
Isabel, you're talking like that, you know, that phenomenon of like if there's one hot girl and there's two lesser hot girls, well, they're all kind of hot. Or there's like one okay girl, but the others are like really unattractive, so the middle one looks like better.
So are they like wingmanning him?
Yes, they're like wingmanning him and making him look better, even though it's just all an illusion that I think only you see.
It would all be the same hands, because they rebuilt him. It's probably the same hands.
Yeah, because that makes it better.
He wanted to steal the body of the Swamp Thing, but that failed.
Why? It didn't work.
Why did he want this?
Immortality.
I mean,
laziness. I mean, if you want immortality and you're lazy, I feel like that doesn't... It's a wasted thing.
You just have so much time to do things. Actually, maybe being immortal does make you lazy, just because nothing matters.
And you have all the time in the world to do it. So... Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be immortal, just for the record.
Just in case.
That's not something like I want at all.
I'm still struggling with the whole being mortal thing. Being is the struggle.
I do like the shoes. Do not like the hand face. No, thank you.
I like the coat.
Does the hand cauliflower face have a personality?
Yeah, he's got a personality.
I mean, he's probably really good with his hand.
Okay, but what about the snake thing with arms next to it? That's kind of cute.
I actually kind of like the other ones, like that one and like the kind of monkey one holding his coat.
I like
it. Kind of cute.
Yeah, there's something like child lost in a mall about him.
Yeah.
Okay, so now who's the guy in the circle in the serpent?
So that's Matt Cable, who is being possessed by insects, or his corpse is being possessed.
I don't like the idea that I was like unknowingly kissing bugs.
Yeah, no. Nah.
I prefer to know if I'm kissing bugs.
These are really gross storylines. Like, why?
Yeah, I hate everything. This is my question. Okay, so that's your second form. And then that body dies. Why do you opt for the third option? Well,
every time, he never opted for any of it. The unmen remade him.
Yes, but I mean the unmen. What's the decision? Like,
actually, how did he feel about it?
Well, that's it. It's ambiguous as to whether the unmen did it on purpose because he made them into monsters, or if because they're monsters, they don't know what a human being should look like. Like, so to them, this is normal.
Or that's just the parts they had.
Or, yeah, they're just incompetent and didn't have the tools.
But how did he feel about it? Was he, like, okay with it? Or was he like, oh, no, I should have just died, you know?
He was still going after Swamp Thing's body after this.
I mean, I feel like at that point, you're like, I'm going to keep going, right?
I hope so. If he was just the spider thing, it would bother me less. But the combination and the seeing him go to different forms bothers me.
So is Arcane, is he hot or not?
I'm disgusted.
Meh.
I'm going to go with no, but like the main one is not the worst thing we've seen. I don't hate the main photo, but still not hot. I don't think.
That's also my opinion.
I'm going to go with not, but I'd probably go on a date with that snake thing with hands.
It's just those tiny hands.
I love it.
No, I crossed the street.
Raid Fogger kills even resistant bugs. Dead.
Arion, Lord of Atlantis. As the Ice Age began, Atlantis was to know its final days on the surface. The city, a mixture of high technology and magic, was then defended by Arion, a powerful magician initially, but he had to sacrifice some of his power to save Atlantis from his evil brother and is no longer limitless. Instead, he taps into nature to create effects like earth tremors and tidal waves. But he can also cast illusions, fire eldritch beams, create force fields, and has a sixth sense that warns him of danger. To compensate, he's become an accomplished swordsman. Personality-wise, Arion is bright, energetic, brash, stable, and rounded. He was a consummate wizard and willing ruler of men. The serpent added by Jander Sima here shows the Atlantis of 45,000 BC, Arion embracing Lady Cheyenne, his lover, and his parents in the foreground.
Sorry, how can you be both brash and stable?
It's not necessarily unstable to be brash.
Yeah, I guess you could make like reasonable decisions even if you're brash.
Sorry, what does brash mean again?
Perhaps it's rash, but with a B.
Rash, yeah.
It's a back rash.
Brash means self-assertive in a rude or overbearing way.
Oh, my type then.
So this has nothing to do with stability.
Elise's type, and it has a big gem on the front.
Ooh.
You mean the jewel or the bulge?
Imagining a bulge, a big gem.
I would not describe this as big.
No, it's present at least compared to others.
It's weak.
Yeah, I'm not enthralled by this bulge. The gem, however.
Thank you for the zoom in, Mike.
You could just steal the gem and run away. The place is gonna sink anyways.
The sleeves are really weird length.
Right? Really?
They're,
yeah.
They're like just past the elbow.
You know what? I feel this man because that is basically the length that I put every single sweater of my life. It has to be really cold for my sweater to be like up to like my hand. I never want that. I always move it up to basically that, just a little under my elbow. So like, man after my heart.
And even dress shirts, I'll roll them up to like about my elbow because I also feel weird about it not exposing my forearms. I feel it doesn't work for my body type.
When you roll up a sleeve, though, it's out of the way, but like a bell sleeve is like more in the way. Like if you're doing dishes, it's not helpful.
I would assume this is in his like I'm doing chores outfit.
I mean, he's a king wizard. I'm sure he can enchant something or something.
I always wear my biggest jewels as I scrub the pots.
Have you not seen Fantasia, Isabel?
That is what I was referencing.
Or Merlin. Things to do your chores.
And that is how Atlantis flooded.
Mickey Mouse.
I won't lie, though. I find his outfit very strange. Coming from it, from like, I don't find it matches like what I thought it would have been. And even his parents, that's not what I had in mind as outfits.
Yeah, his parents look very Egyptian.
Where's Atlantis supposed to be?
In the Atlantic Ocean?
But like, is it near, like, what landmass would it be near?
It was its own landmass. There was like a continent between the Americas and Europe.
So it was a whole continent. So why are they Egyptian?
All the cultures that we know from later really kind of started in the Ice Age, but then that was lost, but the, you know, some people survived and then founded these different cultures.
Okay.
Does he have a mullet in that picture with his lover?
Yeah, it kind of looked like that.
I like his hair color. I don't feel like it's a color we see that much.
Mm. Yeah, that's really nice.
I actually really like the outfit. I feel
I like it. I agree with Jose that it doesn't really fit with what I picture as being Atlantis, but it's probably because we've recently seen Aquaman, and that makes, you know, that difference, I guess. But I like the colors. I like the boots. I like even the cape. I kind of like.
I even like the way his name is written. I think it's cool.
It's a good font.
Yeah.
The Lord really looks like Lord of the Rings font to me.
I like his logo thing behind his hand with the cuff. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Is it magic?
Yeah, when he casts magic spells, it kind of does those kinds of effects.
Yeah, that's cool.
I will say, though, I hate the way his hand is drawn in the other magic thing.
It looks like the person just kind of gave up.
Oh my god, yes!
This feels like...
Oh my god!
This feels like a bad tattoo from Ink Master.
Oh my lord, it's horrible!
And the other hand is fine! But that hand...
Oh, it was really like, it was kind of like they did the ball of energy or whatever that is, and they were like, ah, shit, we should, I guess, include his hand anyway so you can see.
You and have then they were 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got a couple even. Seconds to just do a quick hand. Like, this is how I draw hands.
He looks like he has tiny hands compared to his body, and I love it. I feel I found a kindred spirit.
Aww. It feels a little mixed though, because there's like Egyptian stuff and the star behind his hand feels kind of Norse.
But all that's the point. They were all in Atlantis.
It's all just a bunch of cultures.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I like it.
Is Arion hot or not?
I think hot. I think I'll forget him, but I like him now that I see him.
He's so hot for me.
Yeah, I like his personality. I like the like brash and just like, but not like bad, not like too bad.
Bad enough to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world. I like him, and I think we would make a badass pair of lifeguards. He just reminds me of a lot of lifeguards I've known.
Well, Atlantis is about to need some. What is he in a couple? Is he like a good boyfriend?
You know, she was like the swordswoman and he's the magician.
When do we see her?
Under L.
Because her hair is great.
Damn it. I love her already. Yeah. Hot.
Okay. I love a power couple, so I'm all in.
The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician.
Arkham Asylum.
I know that place.
Since most of Batman's villains are mentally ill, they don't go to prison, but are rather confined to Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane. These days, it's often pictured as a crazy castle dungeon, but at this point, it's pretty normal. Just a building, as drawn by Bissett and Totalbin, with the map showing the maximum security cell block for people like the Joker on the second floor. In any case, people escape from this facility all the time, sometimes en masse. Founded by social reformer Dr. Amadeus Arkham in 1921 after witnessing the appalling conditions in Gotham Prison. Ironically, one of the first inmates was the killer of Arkham's own wife and daughter. Arkham would fall prey to mental illness himself some years later and be incarcerated at his own asylum, spending the rest of his life carving indecipherable inscriptions on the walls of his cell with his fingernails. No wonder the place feels a little bit haunted and a lot cursed. The Serpent shows some of the inmates, but in nightmarish form. The Floronic Man, Joker, and what I take to be Hugo Strange and Maxi Zeus, who all have their own entries, of course.
But wait, Arkham spent the rest of his life in the asylum, but did he do any crime to get there, or was it just insane?
Amadeus Arkham, when he went mad, killed somebody or tried to kill somebody. So
okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
He has a good name, though. It's a good name.
I was going to say the same thing. I think it's really cool.
Well, the name comes from Lovecraft, because Arkham is a town in the H.P. Lovecraft stories.
And I mean, that's thematically coherent.
Checks out.
I have thoughts about asylums. I very much realized that had I been born like 100 to 200 years earlier, I definitely would have ended up in an asylum. And obviously the conditions are appalling, but at the same time, I don't know, sometimes it would be easier. I don't know. I have feelings.
You want me to make a couple phone calls and ease?
No.
If you go back,
deinstitutionalized everyone.
Yeah, don't go too far back. You can call it a sanitarium, but asylum evokes bedlam and, you know, horror places like that. It makes sense because it's Batman's world.
Yeah, it really is. Like, the conditions were just so bad.
Why does Batman have so many mentally ill people?
See, that's a question. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something going on in Gotham that's...
I mean, he was dealing with his own mental health issues, I'm sure, so...
All the superheroes, or, like, all the universes have their share of, you know, insane people, but Gotham has a lot more, I feel.
Gotham is a rough place.
I feel like making the superhero more grounded in, like, a suit and not powers, you know, gadgets, and with the backstory and all of it, makes it like really dark and really grounded in like more real lifey kind of stuff. So that might be kind of it. I don't know.
I mean, it's still not realistic that everyone is criminally insane.
No.
I mean, technically, legally, Batman is criminally insane.
Mm-hmm. Have they checked their water source for traces of lead or...
Okay, someone write down in the comments how many times Gotham's water source was like poisoned or infected with something.
Oh, yeah, that must happen a lot.
I think that's happened a lot. Yeah,
let's just take the asylum as an example. How many times did they escape from this place? Either one person or all of them. That place is not working clearly, and it's still open, and it's still where they send them when they're recaptured. So if they cannot fix the asylum, do you think they can fix the rest of the city?
Well, I mean, there's corruption and everything. Has Batman ever gone to Arkham?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
He's gone undercover in Arkham. He's been an inmate at Arkham because one of the doctors was evil. This isn't true at this point in the entry, but of course, Harley Quinn used to be a psychologist at this place. That's where she fell in love with the Joker.
A very good place to work.
Just, it feels like what's the point of it? If everyone escapes anyways, it feels like it's just a delay.
You need like a satisfying conclusion of having caught someone, but you also can't write them off completely, so they need an out.
They'd escape, so they just of whatever.
Go to the porous asylum. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's cured people.
The cured people escape?
No, but they're released.
Oh, I see. It has cured people, not it is cured people that are escaping. No.
That's how they tell if you're ready, if you escape.
How many people are there at a time?
A lot. You know, like this version of, and you got to figure there's also normal inmates. They're not all supervillains. You know, there's like they're the normal people that are criminally insane, but don't necessarily, you know, dress up as clowns or whatever.
I would not want to be with them in the same building.
You think they're like separated? Because like in prisons, like a high profile inmate will be like separate from everybody else, or are they just all together?
Yeah, the second floor. Good luck. The second floor looks bigger. It's max security. Okay, cool.
So the supervillains would be on maximum security on the second floor. In the version where it looks like a dungeon, I mean, it looks huge. This is tiny compared to the, and you know, like what? The video games have it be Arkham City and stuff like that.
The first floor looks like a Clue game.
I appreciate there's a gym and a recreation room.
Yes, but nice. There's also a shock therapy and operation room. It's a theater.
But also, if you look at the second floor, the maximum security block is right next to the minimum security cell block. So they're not that separated.
You know what's my favorite part? They were sitting there and going, okay, we're building an asylum for the criminally insane. I'm thinking pink.
Yeah, the colors are interesting. I do appreciate that there's vines growing on it.
It feels like when they decided they were going to fix our high school and we came back after summer break and it was all awful colors.
They made it worse.
I believe that this is like purplish. In pink. Comics, is often gray. And then they're like the highlights make it look very, very fuchsia.
You would think there would be a better fence, though. I'll be honest.
No barbed wire, no electricity.
It looks like it's falling apart.
That's how they escape. It's easy to climb, easy to break through.
You know, it was just broken through and they fixed it. That's a patchwork. You can tell that it's been destroyed many a time.
That's what happens often with asylums, right? They just run out of money and it falls into disrepair and then people start getting treated badly because they don't have the funds and then things fall apart and then close.
They had money for the people they kept there, so there was an incentive to keep people there longer.
Is Arkham Asylum, I mean, this version, you don't have access to a more recent look, a more gothic look of today, but this version of Arkham Asylum, hot or not?
I mean, this just looks like a house. Like, if you showed me this without telling me in the Sin Asylum, I'd be like, oh, that looks like
a mansion.
Like an important old mansion.
It was Arkham's family home that he converted.
That makes sense.
I wouldn't buy it to convert it to a bed and breakfast.
It would take a lot of work. Although, if I'm honest, you would probably make a lot of money using it as an Airbnb. But just like this anyway, like you can stay in the same cell as the Joker. That's going to get some money.
Well, I mean, everyone needs an Airbnb for the criminally insane.
No, it's the same cell as the Joker, as in the Joker is there with you.
Good luck.
Have fun.
Is the Joker mean to other people one-on-one? I don't know this.
No, either you die laughing or you fall in love.
He's not exclusively only mean to Batman.
Well, I thought that like other bystanders were just collateral damage and parts of his ploy, but would he kill someone sharing a cell with him?
I would not risk it.
I would love to visit. Would I stay there? Nah. So it's a maybe?
I will say not. However, if this house would get on the market, like everyone out of the house. A pink mansion, sign me up.
I want to go to the Arkham Asylum open house.
I don't want to go, but I'm always down for an asylum story, so I'm going to say Hamlet.
I agree. It's a cool house. I like the vines. And I like the projected ghost faces in the sky that just come to the house.
It's like the bad signal, but it's that.
Exactly. That. It's calling everyone home.
I mean, that's going to deter some burglars.
I've already told you, when the gas is put into Gotham's water supply, the entire city will be affected. Why won't you believe me?
I think this plot is just another delusion. And deep down, you believe so too. Otherwise, why come to Arkham? The one place where costumed delusional personalities can receive compassionate help.
Atari Force.
Sorry.
So now you understand why the question at the top of the show. In the 80s, Atari made a deal with DC Comics to create a line of mini comics to go with their game releases. This Atari Force starred a bunch of near future astronauts who had adventures that were sort of kind of like the games the comic came with. Artist Eduardo Barreto put this team in the Serpent. Then DC launched a proper Atari Force title taking place 25 years later when the leader, Martin Champion, embittered over the death of his wife, builds a new team, this one superpowered, to stop the Dark Destroyer, the villain responsible for Lydia's death, but also now threatening the universe. The team includes Martin's son Tempest, who can teleport, mercenary assassin Dart, the empathic Morphia, the super strong child Babe, the rodent-like thief Packrat, and the last survivor of a race of small warriors known as Taj. They all get their own entries, except the Hookah, Martin's childhood pet, a reptilian monkey thing that only says Hookah Hookah. It's the orange critter at Morpheus' feet. Together, they travel on the Scanner One, which is the ship in the Serpent.
I'm confounded by the one that is named Unpronounceable.
Well, we call him Taj, but in his own alien language, who knows?
Babe is pretty. I want him.
I really love the art style for everyone. Like, the humans, like, whatever, I take or leave it. But, like, everybody else, I love the art style, especially yes. Morphia.
Oh, my God.
Like, adorable. I love.
She's so cute. I love the outfit. I love the shape of her head. I just, oh, it's so cute.
I love the squirrel rodent.
Yeah, that's a great, it's like kangaroo, like a tiny kangaroo.
Like, honestly, I wish the picture was cut in two and the left was not there and just the right was there. They look just so badass and the other ones kind of look like boring.
Martin has too big of a neck. Like, his neck and his head are the same size on both pictures, and it bothers me. But, babe, I just want to get a hug. Someone please get me a life-size teddy bear of Babe.
And I love the outfit, the, like, scales kind of thing.
That's so cool. I want a scale cape.
Does it have, like, elephant feet?
Oh, yeah.
No, everything about it is so cool.
Is Babe nice? Is Babe fun? Does he have wisdoms?
But he's a baby.
Oh,
so
a baby.
When he's an adult, he's going to be as big as a mountain.
Really?
Mountain.
Like, what type of mountain? There's a lot of size difference. Oh, but like,
you make it sound like something a parent says to a child. When you grow up, you're going to be as big as a mountain.
Aww.
As strong as a mountain.
I love him so much, though.
He's delightful.
Are they all in a team together? Because they just feel like two groups.
Well, the humans have a sort of have a uniform.
Boring.
But if you look, but if you look at, like, Morphia has the logo, the Atari symbol on her
a
button,
belt.
A badge.
So yeah, they're all in the same. They're all in the same group. They all save the universe together.
It just surprises me, I guess, that half of them are dressed in red and the other half aren't.
Well, they just couldn't find the uniform to fit those shapes and form, or they offered the uniform and they were like, excuse me, I want to express myself, so I'm gonna wear this instead.
Valid.
Yeah. I do like the girl with the white hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool.
Yeah, she's
what's her name again?
Cool.
Dart.
That's awesome.
She's my favorite of the humans.
Yeah, she's badass. I don't know. Is she a human? She has tattoos.
Yeah, she's human. She's I think she's the daughter of this guy with the dot on his forehead.
This feels like one of those shows where there's like an original cast and then they rebooted it, and so there's a younger cast, but
that's what it
older,
is.
But the older cast still shows up as like parents and teachers.
Yeah. It sort of is, because I think like two of these, like Martin Champion in The Serpent. And that's Lydia, his wife, next to him. And those are the parents of this blonde guy here. And then this guy with the dot here. See, she's a O'Rourke Singh. So yeah, those were the names of two of the original cast.
I love Lydia's hair. Just some very casual, like, 70s looking hair.
I prefer, like, plugging the Atari logo in the newer, like, the younger people than the older people. I think It's more like obvious in the older people that it's an Atari logo, but in the newer it's sort of like more subtly.
I agree.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, they're on the left. There's the original guys, right? So We can see here like Singh and O'Rourke, these two, and only Dr. Lucas Orion didn't have any kids.
Poor guy. Well, they were only five.
Oh, forever alone.
He's the fifth wheel of the wagon.
That little creature, it's a monkey and a lizard?
I don't know. Yeah. It's an alien. I love it. It's not, it doesn't really have any.
At one point you said monkey.
I'm trying to describe it, but it has a beak.
I find that's a very Avatar thing of like two animals mixed together.
Yes.
I kind of love it.
What's the person with the big ears and the hair again?
Pack rat?
That's Pack a terrible rat? Name. I love him.
That is delightful.
I want to brush his fur hair so much and like braid it and just like, I don't know. I want to hang out with him a lot.
They kind of look like in the original Jumanji when the little boy transforms into the monkey.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
Because it's kind of a human face, but also not.
So the non-human, do they like communicate with the others? Like, do they speak or do they have like a translator? How does it work?
It's like all the science fiction films you've ever seen. They speak.
They figure it out.
I guess I say that and then the Star Wars, everybody goes blah, 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 blah. Only the hookah doesn't really speak.
Who's the hookah?
The pet.
Okay.
Oh.
But that's it. He's an animal. So
there's too many people on these pages. We are very confused.
I don't know if I like the middle one, like the one with the
Tosh?
That one.
Tosh. Unpronounceable.
I don't know if I like him. He's very top heavy and
he's my least favorite of the non-humans, I think.
He kind of reminds me of a shy guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I feel like he would be like the annoying character.
Yes, at least this image gives the impression that he's very like,
Yeah, like, what?
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the vibe.
And even this face on the side, he's like,
Yeah, it just looks unpleasant.
Is Atari Force hot or not?
Hot.
If nothing else for Morphia and Babe, I say hot.
Agreed.
I say hot as well, but again, I want to cut that page in two. And keep the right side.
It's the better version of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I love them.
The better version.
What?
Of the Guardians.
Oh, hot take.
Oh, the comments on this one.
Hot take or not.
But like, are they cool? Like, that's a decent question. Are they cool? Like, are they like good and interesting? Or are they just a cash grab?
Was this popular?
And are they successful?
Yes, it was successful. It had really good artists on it. Still has a lot of fans. But of course, Atari wouldn't have a... that partnership wouldn't last forever. And also...
Neither did Atari.
Yeah, is Atari much of a concern? I don't think I'm wrong when I say that when they published the omnibus of Who's Who, these guys aren't in it. None of the characters are in it because there's no longer a licensing agreement with Atari. So we're looking at...
Atari doesn't exist and can't sign.
In other words, the characters or the name Atari is owned by Atari, not by DC. So DC can't republish the comic, I guess. Well, once the licensing agreement is over, that's it.
The stories were good. Like, they were interesting.
I liked it.
What did they fight?
The Dark Destroyer has his own entry, but he's sort of a Darth Vader, I guess.
He's so sort this of a Darth is just Vader. Copyrighted material. That's the whole thing.
I don't want to reveal too much.
I like them. And I like that he's coming out of the wall over there. I know he's teleporting, but it looks like he's coming through the wall.
Kool-Aid Man style.
You want to play Berserk? You're on. Hey, where are you going?
The video arcade!
You can't play Berserk at home.
Now you can.
Atari!
It's Berserk inside an electric maze, where robots shoot with electric rays.
Take that, Turkey!
So look out, don't get trapped, or you might get zapped. Berserk is here from Atari.
Can you beat that?
And only for systems from Atari.
Have you played Atari today?
Not a sponsor.
Atlantis, located in the North Atlantic Ocean. Atlantis is one of the first places where society flourished, at first powered by magic and later science. The continent sank beneath the waves in a great cataclysm, but its people would survive. Two cities in particular protected themselves with a dome and gave themselves the ability to breathe and survive underwater with a special serum. The people of Tritonis had an unexpected reaction to the serum, developing fishtails and turning them into mermaids and mermen. The people of Poseidonis had no such problems, and this is the Atlantis Aquaman was descended from. The art by Marshall Rogers puts them in proximity, but they're not that close. Under each, we see some of the best-known inhabitants. From Tritonis, we have Lori Lamaris, the sometime girlfriend of Superman, and Ronal, actually a merman surgeon from another planet that Superman went to get when Lori was injured, and during her rehabilitation, they would fall in love and marry. Sorry, Superman. For Poseidonis, we have the previously reviewed Aqualad and Aquagirl, plus Aquaman's good friend, King Vulko, who was played by Willem Dafoe in the movie.
So the font is very different, right? From like the last one we saw, Lord of Atlantis. And this feels like a marketing campaign. Visit Atlantis.
it's the welcoming board at when you get into the sea limit.
Exit 2 kilometers away.
Exactly.
I would visit.
A rest stop 2 miles ahead.
I think it kind of looks like, I don't know if it's still like this, but like you could get like kid maps. We had one from Canada where like there were just like images that were related to each province. Like, and that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting because of all of the like sea creatures around and everything. Like it really gives that like tailored to a child art.
So I did not realize that there was some sort of hole or something between the two cities. And I couldn't stop laughing at the octopus because yes, it just felt like it was digging.
It's planting in yes, the sand.
It's yes, just chilling.
Oh yeah, there's a trench.
Yes.
I've never seen that trench either. I've always thought the octopus was sort of face planting.
You so, had a rough really day.
I thought the same, and I've had this comic for 25 years.
Yes, there is a trench.
No, he was having a rough day and was screaming in a pillow.
Yes.
Yeah, just say that the like doctor guy, he Ronald? Said he's from outer space.
Yeah.
He really just looks like a random human man.
Look his
okay,
ears.
Okay, the ears are a little pointy, but the rest, like he just looks like a dude who has a bit of a sunburn on the top of his
I mean, don't get me wrong, this dude looks like a Ronald.
Also, you got to think that he's got a fishtail.
Yeah, but just in this photo, like
the headshots are not that great.
No, yeah, agreed.
It sort of feels like sort of like a school, like all of the pictures of the staff or something.
Oh my god, it reminds me of the opening. Is it? I think it's the opening credits in Greece where they're all like cartoons.
Oh yeah.
What's her name? Lori.
Lori Lamaris. Yeah.
That's some bow. That's an outfit.
Yeah, she looks like she's like in a play.
It also looks like she had a bit of a side shave.
Yeah, her hair is a bit weird.
Her eyes.
The architecture looks cool as hell. Like, would I want to travel here? Yes. I would like to visit. That would be very awesome. I love when you're like in an aquarium. Like, Jose, this would scare the hell out of you, probably. But I love when you're in an aquarium and you're, like, surrounded by, like, water and fish and stuff. Yes. So I can only imagine being, like, in a town in a bubble like that. Like, that would be so cool.
I've been in aquariums before with similar things. And I think if it's with someone, like, holding my hand, I could get through them.
So poor sperm whales are like, they look concerned.
They look like it's a living.
Such is life.
Is there actually literally like a dome over them, or is that just like a magic?
No, there is a glass dome. Yeah.
Is their name tag on it as well?
No. How do you get in?
Follow the octopus.
No, but I think it's good for marketing purpose as well. It's easy to sell souvenirs. It's just snow globes, but it's a dome.
That's good.
And, but then it's snowing inside and it doesn't make sense. But
you could put like tiny sea creatures.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, I know they're still not in the dome, but at least it's more on brand.
Like, how did they get the water out?
No, there's water in.
Then why is there a dome?
Well, it protects you from sea creatures.
Sad octopi?
Pollution, enemy attacks. Yeah. 40,000 years ago, whenever Atlantis sank, there was a whole process where, okay, let's build a dome. Now we're living underwater, but we're protected, but we're breathing air. But now we're developing a serum so that we can go outside and all of this business. And then the domes just remained. They're also protection against enemies. They're the wall around the castle.
I got to say, I got to appreciate their commitment to doing this instead of just like finding another place on land. Because they really could have done that. They could have just been like, oh, well, this is really unfortunate, but we're just going to find a new home. And they were like, no, we're going to just figure out a way to live underwater. That's commitment.
I'm not moving. I'm turning into a fish. That's all that's happening.
Oh, it's what I should have told my dad when he was saying every time I tried to buy a house that was near a flood zone, I'll just build a dome. It's fine.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'll just turn into a fish.
I'll build a dome. I'll turn into a fish, maybe an octopus. Best case scenario, regardless of the situation.
So is Atlantis hot or not?
How is it to live in there? Like, do you have like a day job? Do they have call centers? What is it? Like, is it like, I want to know if I want to move there.
What are my job prospects?
Yes.
Do they have a good healthcare system?
Yes to some of these questions. No to some of the others.
Guess which one is which?
How's the schooling?
The good schools.
How's the crime?
Low crime.
Oh.
Is there an asylum?
No telemarketing. No. Oh, there's probably an asylum. They probably got criminally insane people.
How many people live there?
Who knows?
If somebody does, let me know. I'd just be curious because it's hard to imagine, like, is there like 5,000 people or is there like 100,000 people? It's hard for me to picture.
Yeah, it looks like big cities, so it could be a lot.
Do they have public transport and what's their stance on ecological issues?
I would assume water pollution is important to them, but they're probably not the ones producing it, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've gone to war against the mainland.
Mainlanders, so us?
Yes.
Landers.
Are there any people that didn't survive the process? Like that took the serum and it didn't work or it killed them or had to go back to the surface because they just couldn't grow tails?
You can't make mermaids without breaking some eggs, as the old saying goes. Fish eggs.
I think child Elise is very excited and wants to visit. Adult Elise is wondering if she needs a passport and like, what are the COVID isolation protocols?
I bet they don't.
The magic of childhood is gone.
Truly, I hope they don't have COVID at all. That would be great for them.
How do you get there?
With difficulty.
Because it's probably pretty deep in the ocean, right? You just can't. You need like a heavy duty submarine that's capable of going like under pressure and stuff like that, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you take the big pill in Futurama.
Why, like, most people don't know it exists because it's so hard to get there. But most people would never even see it.
Do they have, like, festivals and activities?
Imagine a real place.
No, I can't.
Is it really dark, actually? I hadn't really thought about it, but since they're, like, so deep on the ocean floor, like, it must be really dark.
Well, Atlanteans can see better in the darkness.
Really?
As we mentioned in the under Aquaman, the Atlanteans, obviously they can survive under pressure. They're good swimmers, but they also have, like, they can see in darkness.
If they're that deep in the water, shouldn't they have, like, giant eyeballs?
Their eyes just look kind of black. It's round. So maybe.
In my mind, the cities would glow, like, when you go deep into the water, the creatures that, like, naturally glow.
Oh, like bioluminescence.
I think it would be like...
Wasn't it all glowy in the Aquaman movie?
I think that would be really friggin' cool to see. So yes, hot. I think this is hot.
I was going to do like an all aboard, but that doesn't work for a submarine.
All inside.
I love ocean stuff, so obviously hot.
Yes, please bring me there.
Hail Atlantis.
I'm JMD Mateus, and you're listening to the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Female bag.
Woo! Woo!
Comments on episode 4 of Who's Hot and Who's Not, which covered Anthro, Apocalypse, Aqualad, Aquagirl, Aquaman, and Arrak, Son of Thunder. Let's talk about Anthro. Aaron Bias says, for all its attempts at accuracy, Anthro is still rooted in an evolutionary misconception of its time, the 60s, not the Ice Age. Cro-Magnons didn't evolve from Neanderthals. They were contemporaries who came north later. Yes, but comics, Aaron. Chris Franklin makes this point. He says, maybe he's short because humans have continually gotten taller over the years.
True.
And Lizanne Oswald questions the science. If Anthro is the first, why does his girlfriend look like she's a Homo sapiens too? To which I personally would answer, well, someone had to be born first. He's just a little bit older than she is. And I do remember his younger siblings were also Cro-Magnon. Apocalypse, ever the toy addict. Chris Franklin says, what really burned me about this one was that the Kenner Superpowers Tower of Darkness, based on the Tower of Rage, complete with giant dark side head, was never released.
Oh.
Lizanne Oswald thinks it's clear, looking at the entry, that Jack Kirby's New God stories inspired He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, as well as Star Wars, which is all true. Mike Dinas, pro tip, Armageddon and Coke make a great mixed drink. Aqualad and Aquagirl. Aaron Bias says, perhaps instead of Aqualad, they should have named him Waterboy. On the question of what Aquaman called him, it definitely wasn't Chum. Isamu Yukinori says it was Squirt on the 60s cartoon show. And Chris adds that it was generally Tadpole in the comics. Chris, in fact, called his own son Tadpole when he was young.
Aww, that was cute. I prefer Tadpole to Squirt.
Yeah, but then the kid grew to be 6 inches taller than the old man, so he's a full frog now. Chris Franklin says, Aqualad's always been the whipping boy of the Teen Titans, and now he gets dissed here on the show. I think DC missed a bit by sacrificing Tula instead of wet blanket Aqualad. And Martin Gray says, it's incredible that the girls decided Aqualad should be British, as he was actually educated for a time in Scotland. So he may have a Caledonian accent.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Aquaman was our next entry. Chris Franklin says, you failed to mention to the girls that while Aquaman disbanded the league, then reformed it with only heroes who would fully commit, he left the team hanging as soon as Mira showed back up. I wonder if that would have affected his hotness.
No.
Aaron, like, you failed us.
I appreciate the precision, but no.
He put his money where his mouth was. You know, as soon as he said, well, I can't commit anymore because I got to work on my marriage, he left the team. So I think that's perfectly consistent, Chris.
Yeah, that's true.
Mike Dinas asks about this particular comment. Someone said, I don't like the name Arthur. It's not watery enough. He asks, what is a watery name?
River.
Marina. Yeah, River Phoenix.
Marina.
It's water and fire.
Oh,
River Phoenix. So to double back for a second, Martin Gray asks, does Tula count as a watery name, given it's almost tuna? So that's,
I think Tula sounds like a watery name. I'm not sure why, but it does.
I do agree.
I think it's the sounds. It sounds like a sort of fluid.
Yeah, versus like
the L.
Jake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Jake. Like an L, because like a Melissa or a Melanie or a Amelie, or, you know, that you've got your...
More flowy or melodic words, I think, kind of fit the bill here.
Jake sounds like a fiery name because of the harsh K and the J.
Yeah, but he's called Arthur.
I mean, let's just watch Avatar, and then we will have Watery Tribe and Fire Tribe and all the names. It's great.
To me, Arthur sounds like a Earth name.
Yes. Prepare for a new podcast where we just say names and we determine which element they're related to.
Let's get back to the comments. Martin then says, a secret fish in the Aquaman logo. Are we talking about the letter Q? I see that after a lifetime of looking at the logo. Mind blown. Yeah, man.
It's also how I draw balloons.
Brian Linton says there was some question about why Aquaman would include fins on his calves as part of the costume. At one point in time, I believe the calf fins were actually part of his body. I don't know if that it's still the case at this time or now or whatever. Like, I should have taken out the action figures last time. But, you know, you got, like, this is the superpowers one. And see, he's got the fins. He's always got the fins. And this is the version that can squeeze his arms and he can swim.
Or
maybe do a little jig.
He's like a bath toy.
And then you got, like, the pirate Aquaman. Still the fins.
And you're saying it could be part of his body?
Maybe there are shots of that, and you can see there he's got like a fin and that.
Oh, so it would be like a nose, like a cartilage appendage.
I mean, it's not consistent because Aqualad doesn't have any fins and he's pure Atlantean. So
is it because he's half Atlantean?
Yeah, but you're half Atlantean and then you're going to grow fins that neither species has? I don't know.
When do we have consistency in this comic book world?
That's true. And seeing as we mentioned Topo a lot, Isamu Yukinori reminds us that his dad did make an entry for Aquaman's octopus friend and says we should cover it. So why not? If I do a little synopsis, after Aquaman had an adventure with Canadian Mounties and admiring their horses, he decided to get an animal partner of his own, holding a contest between three different sea creatures. Topo beat out the swordfish and the whale by showing initiative and selflessness. He's more intelligent and dexterous than a normal octopus. He's shown proficiency in carpentry, music, and archery. The art by Ramona Fradon, adapted by Zoom, has Serpent showing Topo beating on bad guys from the side of a ship and acting as a one-man band.
How do you ride it? Well, he wanted a horse.
This is truly the best story I've ever heard.
Yeah,
I love everything about that story.
That's pretty amazing.
I love how he looks like he's like telling them off. He's no to get off my algae.
In my head, he was showing off his muscles. He was like, look at this gun.
I do love that he is a one-man band. Like, that's wonderful. I would like him to do the music for my wedding, please.
Oh my God, like Nat, stop trying to have all the things I want at my wedding at your wedding. I want the octopus. That's my thing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm very okay with us having the same wedding.
At the same time with the same husband.
If I manage to make this work, I promise I'll book him for you too.
The way I like to think he travels is Topo travels, but he holds your hand with one of his tentacles and just drags you behind.
Yeah, the thing with Aquaman is that he's already a super fast swimmer, so he doesn't need a mount.
Yes, he does.
We talked about this last time. He rides a giant seahorse, but as a sidekick.
He saw a mount. That horse is a sidekick.
Hey, you know what? If you're not from Earth, I feel like that could be confusing. But he was probably just like, oh man, I should get a best friend and I support Aww. This.
That's a good choice, yeah.
Do you know who needs an animal sidekick? Topo. Topo needs...
Can we have another competition to determine who is Topo's sidekick? Because yes, please.
This is the most accomplished octopus I've ever met in my life, and he needs a sidekick.
I mean, his occupation is being a sidekick.
I do appreciate that he does not have an alter ego.
And is single.
It's really funny to me to imagine that he has like a secret identity, like Topo is his secret identity, and then the rest
he's
of the time.
Dad.
He's Octodad, yeah.
Topo, hot or not?
Like, hot, obviously.
Hot. Super hot.
What kind of music does he play? Like jazz?
It looks like jazz.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
I'm down for that.
Back to the comments. Where we are here. Arak. Liz Ann Oswald is dead against the way his weapons are drawn, as they're not really of any specific culture. She had similar problems with Amethyst last episode, which at least wasn't meant to be historical. I'm going to go ahead and assume the fantasy gear in the DC Universe is never going to pass muster with Liz. Martin Gray says, Arak was a wonderful series. It grabbed me from the first, as the opening issue was partly set on Lindisfarne, where I used to holiday as a kid, a magical place. The flavor of the book was something else. It's so far from Conan, with a historical background you never see in comics, and an amazing mix of characters from history and myth. The girls should try an issue or two. I bet they'd be horny for Satyricus. Okay.
Sorry, I'm already busy reading Animal Man.
Oh, she's on it. And just like a general comment, Isamu Yukinori wonders if there are hints that the show might go beyond Volume 1.
You tell us.
You paused. You're the one controlling this ship. We're just on it.
Yeah, but the ship's not going to go out of the harbor if there's no passengers aboard.
Yeah, you know we're on board. It's your schedule.
Well, no, it's also your schedule. So I think that if you're
we're in a pandemic. Who knows how long this is going to last?
Oh, what and it's going really going? Well right now. So clearly we'll have a lot of time on our hands.
I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. This is one of my favorite activities. So yeah, of course.
Yep. Ohadmu or not, and Who's Hot and Who's Not is going daily in 2022.
Calm down.
We're doing 2-hour episodes per character.
What's actually going to happen then is probably we're going to do an issue every year. It's basically 6 months. And then a 6-month break, and then another 6 months, we'll do it. And then so every autumn, you get another season of Who's Who as we forge ahead with the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition monthly.
And one day we'll be done with Marvel. I don't know when. And then we can just get through.
4 years.
Yeah. On that day, we'll open the Book of the Dead and our picture will be there.
That's why if we go daily, we can be done by June.
No, Mike, right. Don't take away my only reason to live.
Sorry, oh Mr. Dick.
All right. Well, before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network patron page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or a monthly donation. This particular production is sponsored by Gene Hendricks, Monsieur Luc, Mike Dynas, and Eric. And don't forget to leave comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com, and we'll read them in the next episode of Who's Hot and Who's Not. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
We love you.
Arcane even possessed the corpse.
Lay down.
Huh?
Laid. Sorry.
Yeah, lay down, Mike.
I really thought I hit the button. Sorry, there's a dog and he's really loud. Okay. We could also just talk about video games. I'm fine with that.
It's a different show. You want to be on that show?
Okay, but Geralt.
Hot.